Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Here's what the Bible says. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. I believe, again, we're here by divine appointment. I believe you have something for each one of us. And I'm afraid, Father, that if we're not careful, because some are tired and some have other things on their mind, that they'll miss the truth that you have for us tonight. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd help us not to let that happen. I pray you'd give us alertness in our hearts and in our minds, and that you would speak to us, and that you would do in our lives tonight what you know needs to be done. I think everybody here tonight is saved, but if they're not, Father, I pray tonight would be the night that they make the decision to receive Jesus. Speak to us as Christians, again, doing our life what only you can do. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I want to speak on the second question, or not the exact second question that God asked man, but a second question that God asked to man early on in man's existence. This morning, we looked at the very first question that God asked man. Adam, where art thou? And tonight, I want to look at the question that he asked Cain here in verse 9. Where is Abel thy brother? I've entitled my message tonight, Where is thy brother? And there's four or five people that Clint and Wanda were out in junior church this morning. Rod didn't get to be here. Donna Ray didn't get to be here. I think everybody else was here this morning, but I want to just start my message tonight by reminding you that we're here and sharing with them that didn't get to be here a couple things. When God asked a question, God is not seeking additional information. God is omniscient. He knows everything. When God asked a question, he's not seeking clarification. His knowledge is perfect. When God asked a question, he's not seeking understanding, because his understanding is complete. When God asked a question in the Bible, it's not for God's benefit, it's for man's benefit. God wants man to, as he answers that question, to realize something or to understand something or to see something that he hasn't seen. And so he puts it in the form of a question. Like when he asked Adam in Genesis chapter 3, Where art thou? Again, God knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to see where he was. And when he asked the question in Genesis chapter 4 to Cain, Where's your brother? God knew where Abel was, but he wanted Cain to come to the realization of where Abel was. He wanted both of those men to think about the question that was asked and the answer that was going to be given and what it meant to their lives. Now, as I mentioned this morning, I think these questions are just as relevant today as they were when God asked them. And as we apply them to our life, I'd like you to think about tonight how they do apply to your life and what it means. And so as we consider this question, Where is thy brother? Where is thy brother? Again, I want to make 6 points. I want to make 3 points, but I want to make them twice. Not three times like this morning, but I want to make them twice. So I actually got 6 points tonight, but they're in two divisions of three. Where is thy brother? Point number one, God knew where Abel was. God knew that these two brothers had gone to the field together. God knew that Cain had rose up, as the Bible says, in a jealous act, and killed his brother. Yeah, and now remember why Cain was jealous. Both of these brothers had brought their offerings to God. Abel had brought, he was the keeper of the sheep, and so he brought an animal. And Cain was the tiller of the ground, and so he brought some of his crops. He brought some of the produce or something that he had raised. And the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel's offering, but he did not respect, he did not accept Cain's offering. And again, right here in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis, God was painting a picture of salvation. The animal that Abel presented to God as his sacrifice, as his offering, was a blood sacrifice. And it was going to represent Jesus at some future date. The fruit or the produce or whatever it was from the ground that Cain brought represents works. And God was teaching us way back in the fourth chapter of Genesis that we are saved not by works. We are saved by the substitute, by the sacrifice of God's Lamb. That's why when God accepted Abel's sacrifice, He was saying, "This is what I want." And by the way, I don't think they discovered it by trial and error. I think God had told them what He wanted. I think God had instructed them that He wanted a blood sacrifice. And when Cain brought that fruit of the ground, whatever it was, he was saying, "I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to let some animal substitute for me. I'm going to bring what I've worked for, and I'm going to give that to God. Surely God will accept that." And again, God rejected it because God has to be true to the gospel plan from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book of Revelation. He can't vary in what He teaches about it. He can't change in the pictures that He paints about it. Salvation is not of works. Salvation is by faith through grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You don't get right with God by doing anything. You get right with God by accepting what God's already done for us on Calvary. Amen? Amen. Now, let me get back to my first point. God knew where Abel was. He knew that these two brothers went out in the field together. He knew that in a jealous act, Cain rose up against him. He knew that Cain had killed Abel. He knew that Abel's blood had run into the ground. In fact, God said to Cain, "Thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." And God knew when He asked Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" that the body of Abel laid somewhere, lifeless, breathless, dead. God knew exactly where Cain was. "Where is thy brother?" Cain, point two. Cain didn't know where Abel was. Now, he knew where he was physically. But here's my point tonight. Cain did not, in asking the question, God was trying to get Cain to understand. Cain, you are your brother's keeper. And when God said, even though he knew the answer, "Cain, where's your brother? Where's Abel? What have you done?" What He was trying to get Cain to understand and come to the realization of is that Cain, you are responsible for Abel. You are responsible for your brother. Cain tried to shirk that responsibility. He said there in verse 9, "Am I my brother's keeper?" What he was saying is, "Hey, it's not my day to watch him. I'm not responsible for him. He's a grown man. He can make his own decisions. He can decide which way he wants to go. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. I am not my brother's keeper." And when God asked the question, "Cain, where's Abel? Cain, where's your brother?" What He was trying to get Cain to think about, what He was trying to get Cain to realize, is that we are indeed our brother's keeper. We are indeed, Cain, you are indeed Abel's keeper. And you have a responsibility to him. Point number three, Cain never accepted that responsibility. As I read the rest of Genesis chapter 4, as I read about what happened after that conversation, I see no remorse in Cain's life. I see no begging or asking for forgiveness from God or from Adam or from Eve. I see no scripture where Cain says, "I'm sorry for that I did this to my brother." I mean, you read the rest of chapter 4 and you see what God did. He meted out punishment to Cain. He said, "Cain, the earth is going to be cursed for you. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." Now that's a pretty bad punishment for a farmer, don't you think, Brother Clint? I mean, for a farmer, for God to say, "Hey, when you till the ground, it's not going to give her strength to you." Pretty bad punishment for somebody who makes their living. Pretty bad punishment whose occupation was tilling the ground. God says you're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth forever. And so that's what you read about. You read about God's punishment on Cain. And then in verse 16, the Bible says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He never accepted the responsibility for Abel. He never accepted the responsibility for his brother. And as a result, he left the presence of the Lord. No more fellowship, no more walking with God, as Dick sang about in the song. No more talking with God. I mean, here in chapter 4, Abel and Cain had the opportunity to come and fellowship with God and to make their offering to Him and to make their sacrifice to Him. And now Abel's dead, and now Cain has left the presence of the Lord. No more to talk to Him. No more to walk with Him. No more to be able to worship with God. He lost that fellowship. Now, let me make the application tonight. I speak to Christians tonight. I speak to people that have been born again. I speak to people that have been saved. And I think by their testimony, most everybody here, if not everybody here, is a Christian on your way to heaven. I think that's wonderful. But I want to take that same question, where is thy brother? And make an application to each and every one of us tonight. Number one, God knows where our brothers are. And I'm not talking about just our brothers by blood. I'm talking about the people that God has put in our life that we come in contact with, that we can influence. I'm talking about our parents, our children, our grandparents, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, our aunts and our uncles, our cousins, our nieces and our nephews, our friends, our neighbors, the people that cut our hair. You know, I was wondering, I thought about this afternoon. Why do they call a person that cuts a man's hair a barber and a person that cuts a lady's hair a beautician? Bill, I want you to think on that and give me an answer. He thinks the same way I do when it comes to this kind of stuff. But again, just continuing this list, our brothers, people that have that God has put in our lives that we can influence. The guy that works next to us on the line, or the guy that works in the next cubicle, the teller at the bank that we go, the paper boy, the clerk at the store. Just keep on going down the list. Think of the people that you interacted with this past week. Think of the people that you had an opportunity to talk to this past week. Think of your family. Maybe you didn't get to talk to them this week, but Donna Reagan did to all of hers, 150 of them. But think about all the people that God puts in our life. He knows where they are. He knows how many opportunities we've already had with those people to share Jesus. He knows how many opportunities that we let slip away. He knows how many more opportunities that we're going to have in the future. And when God asks us the question tonight, where is thy brother? I think He's trying to get each one of us to think about the people that we're going to see tomorrow, and we're going to see on Tuesday, and we're going to see on Wednesday, and the rest of the week, and to get us to realize that we have a responsibility to those people that God lets us see, that God lets us talk to tell them about Jesus. Point number two, we are our brother's keeper. We do have a responsibility. We do have a duty. We are Christ's ambassadors. We've been commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. We've been commanded to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We were saved, and then we were chosen and selected by God to go and tell people about Jesus. And when God asks the question, where is thy brother? What He's trying to do is get our attention. What He's trying to do is to grab a hold of our thoughts. and get us to look at people all around us. People that, as Brother Chuck testified a moment ago, sometimes we do this God's blessing. Sometimes we do it to the people that are around us. We see them every single day, some of them. We come in contact with them every single day. And we take them for granted. We never one time think, wonder if this person's saved? Wonder if they know Jesus as their Savior? Wonder if they're on their way to heaven? And when God asks the question, where is thy brother? He knows the answer. He knows every single person that all of us are going to see tomorrow. What He wants us to realize is that we have a responsibility. We are our brother's keeper. Now, number three, what are we going to do with that responsibility? Well, we can choose like Cain. We can reject it. We can ignore it. We can say like Cain, I'm not my brother's keeper. It's not my day to watch him. I'm not responsible. They're grown. They can make their own decisions. They can decide which way they want to go. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. Let them hear about Jesus from somebody else. Let them hear about salvation from somebody else. That's why we have churches. That's why we have preachers. That's why we have Sunday school teachers. It's their job. Let them tell them about Jesus. It's not my responsibility. Now, we can certainly take that position. We can certainly decide that's what we're going to do. But I would caution all of us tonight, including myself. I'm preaching to myself tonight just as much as I'm preaching to anybody else. We can take that position. But we better be careful. Because we might lose our fellowship. Not our salvation, but our fellowship with God. When He said in the Great Commission, go ye therefore into the world. Now, how's it start? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what's the last phrase? And lo, I am with you always. God made a promise. You go and be my ambassador. You go and tell people about Jesus, and I will be with you always. We'll have that fellowship. We'll have that sweet talk and walk with God, as Dick sang about. We'll enjoy His presence in our life if we're busy about the thing that He called us to do. But if we decide, it's not my job, it's not my responsibility, then let's be careful. Because we may be not only giving up our responsibility, we may be giving up our fellowship. Or we can say, God, I accept that responsibility. I accept that ordination. I accept that selection. Because you see, God has selected every single Christian to bear fruit. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. He chose us and He set us aside that ye should go and bring forth fruit. You say, Brother Darrell, I feel uncomfortable sometimes going up and just striking up a conversation and talking to people about Jesus. That's why we have tracks. Give them a track. Invite them to church. But when God asks the question, where is thy brother? He's trying to get us to see we are our brother's keeper, and every single person we come in contact with, we have a responsibility to. We may be the only person that'll talk to him about Jesus. And I think there are people that are in our lives that God has put our name on and has said, if we don't get them, then they will die and go to hell. And what He says, when He says, where is thy brother? He knows where they are. He sees them around us every day. Why He's asking the question is He wants us to see Him. He wants us to see Him. I see people often. I don't see a lot of people every single day because I'm not in the same place every single day. but I see people often. And I wept this afternoon when I thought about the number of people that I see often. I don't know if they're saved or not. I've never asked them. I've never given a tract. Where is thy brother? We have a responsibility. We sang the song this morning in Sunday school. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Who'll go and help the shepherd kind? Help him the wandering ones to find? Who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep, wherever they be. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Where is thy brother? They're all around us. And all God is trying to do is get a hold of us and say, that's where they are. I see them. Do you? Do you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this reminder from your word. Again, I think everybody here tonight is saved. I think we're all on our way to heaven. I think we've all come to Calvary's cross and we put our trust in your Lamb that died for us. I pray tonight, Father, that you would remind us of our responsibilities now that we are saved. I pray tonight you'd remind us of the people all around us who don't know Jesus, who need to know Jesus. And I pray tonight, Father, you would give us some holy boldness, a sense of urgency to go out and tell others about Christ. Bless the invitation tonight. If there is perhaps one here tonight that isn't saved, doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray tonight would be the night they make that decision. And then, Holy Spirit, you speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. We'll give Jesus all the glory, for it's in His name we pray.